Hello, and welcome to How to Make a Memory, the show that explores the items we make for one another and how they impact our relationships. In this week's episode, I'll be speaking with my friend and coworker, Sam, about his family's generations-old banana bread recipe. I knew I wanted to get Sam on the show right away because he is such an upbeat guy who loves to learn. I was sure he would have a great story to share, and he does not disappoint. One quick note before I begin. While Sam and I were talking, I made a point about the magical alchemy of bread baking. I knew that the thought wasn't mine originally, but couldn't remember where it came from until after the mics were off. The sentiment comes from Michael Pollan's Netflix documentary, Cooked. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. All right, I hope you've eaten a good meal recently, because this episode is going to make your mouth water.
So hi, Sam. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into what it is that you make.
Absolutely. So I really am just kind of happy-go-lucky kind of person. I just kind of go with the flow. As far as like interests and things are concerned, I love cooking. I love just general fitness and understanding why you do certain things and why you want to eat certain things nutritionally. And I also love fish, as in like aquatics. So fish tanks and like going to the aquarium and stuff like that. So I'm a real like aquatics nerd. I am just like kind of getting into things as far as like aquariums and things are concerned. But it's one of my little joys that I have.
Yeah, your little joy brings joy to our office because we have a lovely office pet thanks to you. Tell everybody a little bit about your lovely fish.
So sadly, the fish actually just died.
Oh,
but it's okay.
No,
the fish
I'm
was
so
very
sorry.
Old. The fish was like over 4 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and we got him like when you started.
Oh yeah, it's funny because we were joking because we were saying that the fish was here longer than most employees have been here.
Yes, it's like he is on par with you and I. I'm glad we outlived him.
And so the fish is he was a little beta fish, and he was a big beta fish too. He was like twice the size as they're supposed to get. We have another beta fish in the office, and he was like, again, like twice the size, and we don't know why he was so big. He wasn't like a special kind of beta fish, but he was just twice the size.
He just really wanted to show off. He wanted to show you his love by getting as big as possible.
Exactly. He worked with the love of fitness. He just wanted to get super big.
He was like, and, look, Sam, I'm swole too.
And his name, my roommate named him. I didn't name him, but the name stuck. His name was Protein. So I think that also had to do with why he was so big, and I have no idea. But
and what's the other fish's name?
The other fish's name is Shake. So we had Protein Shake. They were kindred spirits.
Excellent. So now, why don't you? I already know what it is that you make, mm-hmm. but why don't you tell everyone else what it is that you make and why mm-hmm. it's important to you?
So what I make is banana bread, and it is a family recipe. And the banana bread, while it is very good, and I'll kind of explain that, what's so important about it is the whole kind of backstory about it and why it's so important to me. So this banana bread recipe, it's been in the family for quite a while. So it actually comes from my aunt. And now she's not like actually an aunt, but it's one of the things where like she's like my grandmother's cousin, or there's like a whole family thing behind that. But to make things simple, like we just call her our aunt, and we've always known her as that. So the reason why I've kind of been so close with her is when I was very young, when my parents would go to work, I would stay at one of three places. I'd stay at either my grandparents on my mom's side, my grandparents on my dad's side, or my aunt's house. So at my aunt's house, the big thing that we used to do, we would always cook. And I know that you've already had a guest kind of talking about cooking, and I think that you'll probably get a lot more.
Yes, cooking is a big theme with people.
Exactly, because cooking is so important. It just kind of brings people together.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So it's something that we really used to do a lot of cooking, and we used to do other things as well. Like one of the things that I distinctly remember is I always used to be afraid of like getting dirty. Not necessarily like fearful of it, but I'd just be like, ugh, like it's gross. I don't want to get my hands dirty and everything. Mm-hmm. So I had these like metal die-cast like construction equipment vehicles that I would play with outside in the dirt, but I would kind of like play with them very lightly because I was like, oh, like I don't want to get dirty. I just want the toys to be in the dirt. So one of the days she was looking at me like not actually playing with them, and so she sent her son outside. So he's much older than me, but she was like, go out there, just like get him dirty. He's not playing. So he literally came out. He threw dirt at me and rolled me in the dirt. And at that point, I was like, well, I'm already this dirty, and I'm not going to be able to go inside and get changed because I want to keep playing, so whatever. And then I started, like, actually getting dirty.
Yeah.
And she also did that, like, when we were, like, baking or anything. I wouldn't want to get my hands dirty in the flour because it would get under your fingernails, and I was like, oh, it's kind of gross. So she was like, stick your hand in the flour. And she'd throw the flour at me and stick my hands in, and I'd be like, all right, well, now I can get into the cooking.
Yeah.
So little things like that, like, I remember. And one of the things that we used to really do was baking a lot. And we would still cook, but my mom was really the one who kind of tipped me over into really enjoying cooking. But my aunt is the one who got me into baking. And that was even before I was interested in cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say cooking, I'm more so mean like chicken and like vegetables and things like that. So I think that it's really easy for kids to bake as opposed to cooking. Now, I think that cooking is easier to do than baking as a whole, because with cooking, if you forget like an ingredient, you can always make do. And worst come to worst, if you really mess it up, you can throw a sauce on it and it'll be fine. But with baking, if you mess it up, like if you forget like the baking soda, that's the difference between having a nice fluffy cake or having a rock. So you would think that baking is like maybe easier or less easy for kids, but the reason why I think it's easier is as long as the adult doesn't mess it up, then for a kid it's easy to follow the directions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either you can scoop everything out already, be like, here's a cup of flour, dump it into the bowl,
mm-hmm.
or you can say, all right, take this cup, fill it up, put it in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier in that sense to follow the directions, and you don't have to worry about like, all right, cook it, is it still pink inside, like it's kind of weird. It's just, all right, you put it in the oven for this long, take it out, it's done.
Yes.
So I think that it's so much easier for a kid to learn that, especially being very young. So I think that's why we really baked so often. Now, there are two things that I distinctly remember baking. One of them was the banana bread, and the other were these little train cookies. So at Christmas time, she would take out this train set that she had, and used to like blow smoke out of it. And it was like the really old school ones where you'd like set up the tracks and the electricity and everything. And I used to love that. So at Christmas time, we'd make train cookies.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime we would make cookies any other time, so they were always just these very basic sugar cookies. But I always needed to have a train. Even if we were making like farm animals, I needed one train in the mix. So she'd always kind of like cater to that and everything. But it was fun and I enjoyed it. And so just these experiences are kind of what drew me into just loving that baking aspect and the fact that it was with her. And that's really what made it important. So with the banana bread is a very old recipe, and it's something that she used to make when she was very young. And this was passed down, I believe. It was actually from my uncle's side, so her late husband. They met very young, so she was making it from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things about it, so she was basically born into the Depression, so she really didn't have a lot of money, and neither did either family, really. And so kind of growing up, like one of the things that she mentioned when she would make this recipe, they use shortening in the recipe. And she said, you can actually swap this out for margarine or butter, even though the recipe says to use shortening, so just like Crisco. And the reason why they did that is because back then, it was just so much cheaper to have shortening. And so other things in the recipe and things like that was just finding ways to have like a cheaper way to make it. Because when they did have the money to make something nice, they still didn't want to spend an arm and a leg on it because they still need to buy regular food and things like this. And so she always made sure that she kind of talked about that and kind of the importance of knowing how to cook too, because from a very young age, she had to take care of her father. He had a lot of problems, and so she always stayed home. She couldn't go out to work, and then eventually when she did, she'd have to go out to work, come back home, take care of her father. And so she was doing a lot, and so she made sure that she always kind of mentioned that. It was like, you need to know these things because you never know what can happen. Like, nobody expected the Depression to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, when people didn't know how to cook, like, they were in rough shape. Like, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to cook things well, so they had to kind of learn on the fly, and they were spending a lot of money. They were messing things up, and so it was just very, very important. So as she would make this banana bread recipe, she would always kind of comment about, like, oh, like, these are some of the things that we used to do. So I would learn a lot from that. And so it was a really cool experience to hear about the past and some of the things that she used to do.
Mm-hmm.
So with the banana bread, the reason why it's kind of a big family thing is because she would always bring it to all the parties. Now, she was a very good cook, very good baker. I remember, like, my fifth birthday or something like that, she made this like crazy farm cake where she had animals on it. She actually got a like a plastic farmhouse that she like put into the cake.
Mm-hmm.
She had done like food coloring with a bunch of shaved coconut and she put it on the grass. And I was the only kid who ate it because the rest of the kids like, ew, what's that green stuff? It's coconut. Like, that's gross. But I loved it. But she would always, even if she'd bake a cake, she'd always bring the banana bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the banana bread, it's a little bit different than most banana breads because most banana breads are very much like a bread. But this one is a lot like a cake.
Mm-hmm.
So again, most banana breads are like bread consistency. This is almost, this is much more moist. And I know some people are probably like grimacing at that word. A lot of people hate that word, but that's like the only way I can really describe it.
Oh, yeah. yeah. In baking, moist is like a totally great word to use.
So like that, it is. It's the only way I can explain it. It's like a very moist banana bread. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too is visually it's a little bit different. So it's a very, very dark banana bread. So it's a very deep brown, almost like even the inside looks like the crust of a bread. And then it has like a lot of black speckling on the inside from where the banana has cooked in. Mm-hmm. Both visually and feel-wise, it is a little bit different than most banana breads. And to this day, she actually still doesn't know why. She's like, I don't know why this recipe out of all of the recipes makes this banana bread so good. But even like when I've made it now and recreated it, I made it for my just in the house once, and one of my roommates was like, oh my God, this is so good. And one day he was like, hey, like, can you make that banana bread with me because I need to impress a girl? I was like, oh, geez, okay. Like, I didn't think that banana bread was the way to do that, but all right, if you need to do that, I'm happy to help you out. And even, like, I brought it to work and stuff, and a lot of times people are hesitant to eat it because it looks weird. It doesn't look like banana bread, and a lot of times people think it's zucchini bread. They're like, is that, like, a really dark zucchini bread? Because, like, the inside looks almost like a zucchini. So people are hesitant to go over it, and when they try, they're like, oh, this is really good. It's almost like a cake, but it's still technically a bread. So it's just very, very unique in that sense. And what's interesting about this, too, is so the recipe isn't necessarily like a crazy secret in the family, but it's just one of the things where, like, it's almost like unspoken. Like, you don't go and ask for it. It's almost like it's given to you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you, if you ask, she'll be like, yeah, like, I'll show you how to make it. It's no big deal. But it's almost like you want it to, like, be bestowed upon you. Mm. So when I finally got it, it was my birthday one of the years. She gave me, like, she had, like, redone a whole copy of the family cookbook, like printed everything out, put it in a binder for me, and she, like, put annotations in it, and she gave it to me. And it was, like, such a big deal. And it's not like it was a very complex thing. It wasn't like she spent a lot of money on it, but I didn't care. Like, it's just what it meant to me. It was just that you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, something like that is truly invaluable. I love when people have family cookbooks. It's just... there's so many stories in there, and the fact that it's annotated, like, whoa, this is a woman after my own heart.
So it's I could definitely see you do something like that.
Oh yeah, I have done stuff like that. Oh yeah. I will only continue to do it as I get older, for
right.
sure. My kids are gonna be like, oh God, another one.
But afterwards, they'll enjoy it. They'll,
yes,
they'll make everything
perfect.
Yes,
when they're my age, they'll go, oh. Mom, thank you. But when they're younger, they'll be like, oh, geez, Mom.
Exactly. Another cookbook? I don't want this. I want something else.
Where are the trucks and the dolls?
Exactly.
Listen, this is really important.
You'll thank me later.
Yep.
So, yeah, it just meant so much to kind of receive that. And there's other recipes that are in there. Like, there's this other one that's, like, really coveted. There are, like, these raisin squares, and it doesn't really sound good. It's like, ew, like, I don't want, like, a raisin dessert. But it's actually, like, super good. And so, like, a lot of people, like, always ask her to make that. But, like, the banana bread is one I always used to make with her. And, like, that's why it's so special. And, like, even in there, she wrote, like, Sam's favorite. She, like, turned to, like, page 38, and it's right there and everything. And so, like, she has, like, little notes on the banana bread. She's like, you can do this or that instead if you want. Like, if you want to throw chocolate chips in, do this. So it's really cool that I got that, and I'll always remember her for that. And so, like, I mean, she's still alive, but
no.
But like, even when eventually she does pass away, like, it's something where I'll always have that, and like, I'll always have a piece of her because I have this cookbook and I have those memories pretty much in that cookbook from her, and she is talking to me in the cookbook.
Yeah. Aww. Sam, that's so sweet. So one of the questions that I was going to ask you is, do you believe in the purity of the recipe, or do you think you'll experiment with it over time and make it your own? But I feel like she built that in for you because she was like, here's how you can adapt it. So, you know, my thinking was like, this is this super secret, very strict family recipe that has to be done just so. But it sounds like one of the joys of baking for me is taking something, mastering it, and then like riffing on it, you know, and making it special to me. And it sounds like that's already built into this recipe and your relationship with your aunt, which is so wonderful.
Yeah. And I think it is something where I will continue to experiment with a little bit, like try new things with it, put it into new forms, and even maybe tweak the recipe a little bit, but I think the base will always stay the same, especially because the fact that she has no idea why this bread is the way that it is.
it's a mystery.
It's so weird. Like, we have no idea. Like, we've made other banana breads, like, other recipes, and they always come out different than this particular banana bread. And we, again, we don't understand why. It could be the shortening in it. Mm. We're not sure. Because not many others that I know use shortening, but we have no idea.
Yeah.
And so I think that eventually, like, I will continue to, like, experiment with a little bit, but I think I'll always keep the heart of it in there when I bake it.
Yeah, I know that I've eaten it before because you brought it into the office, but I surely did not know the importance of it when I consumed it. I'm sure I was just like, this is very tasty. Nom 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 nom. So now I'm like, I must try this banana bread. I need to have it. So especially now that it's morning and it's like, you know, we're recording early, I'm hungry. It's like, oh. So I mean, I think that, you know, you've created a real need. And I'm sure that there are people who are like, I will never know what this banana bread is, and right. That is killing me.
I'm sorry for anyone who really wants to try it. You can, if ever you find me on the street somewhere, you can ask me and I'll
Sam, make me some banana bread. Well, so here was one thing that was interesting that you mentioned was helping your roommate by making it for a date, which is sort of like a little bit trivial, but not really.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's part of like a social currency almost, which your aunt was using it for when she brought it to social gatherings. So this idea of like making something for someone else and why that's important. So we've talked about it from the other side where you have, you know, your aunt has made something and taught you how to make it. So the follow-up on that is sort of like, now that you are making it, what does it mean to you to share it with other people?
Yeah. So for me, it's kind of something where I probably wouldn't share it with everyone. I need to be like closer to someone to actually be like, all right, like here's the recipe, like let's go through it. And I'll make it with anyone because, I mean, you can't remember like a recipe. And realistically, if someone find out, I wouldn't actually like be angry or anything. Like I wouldn't truly care. But because it does have that like sense of like importance to it, I would only like actively go out of my way to be like, hey, I'm gonna teach you the recipe if I'm like close with this individual. So it's something where I still enjoy making it with anyone. So like the fact that we went through that, I was like, oh, here's how to do this, and he wasn't actually very used to baking or even cooking for that matter, just as a whole, and going through this process with him was almost like teaching him to like, here's why you're like, why you want to use baking soda in this recipe, or like, it's understandable why you use sugar, for instance, but like, and understanding like why you do things with like the oven temperature. So I like the explaining concepts and understanding concepts. So being able to explain that to someone else, that like kind of invigorates me. So it's really cool. And to be able to go back and tell my aunt like, oh yeah, like I showed my roommate and we made this, like she loved that because she has nothing to hide either. And it's something where like, she just likes the fact that like it's continuing on and more people are just able to experience it. Because that's the thing, like that's the whole point of food, is to share it with other people. To be able to kind of go through this recipe with someone else. And even when I made it with my girlfriend, she loves making this and she's really not a baker. To be honest, I'm really not a baker either. I would prefer to just be actually like cooking or grilling or something else. But just going through this, you know what you're going to get in the outcome. Especially with baking, because everything is like precise measurements, you always know, unless if you really mess something up or like your stove is messed up or oven or something, you're going to get the same end product. So knowing what the end goal is, it's very cool to kind of go through that process. And I love that. So being able to, again, share that with other people, I think that does mean a lot. And it's something to do, too. Like, it's entertaining and it's better than just kind of sitting in front of the TV, as much as I love to do that. If ever, like, you're bored on a weekend, there's nothing like rainy day going in baking bread.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, have you tried bread before? Just regular bread?
Regular bread. I did it a long time ago. I've done it with my mom, but to be honest, I don't even remember how to do it. It was so long ago. But I do remember it was quite the process.
Yes. Well, it depends on what kind of bread you're making. Mm-hmm. So there's really great cookbooks out there now that are like no-knead breads where, you know, you sort of construct the bread base and just kind of let it sit and bake it, and it's really quite simple. But then, I mean, I have a sourdough starter that I've had for a year and a half now.
Oh, wow.
which is like a pet. It's really it's a commitment. And I use that as my my base. So instead of like grabbing a yeast to put into it, I use the starter, which is like the natural yeast. And so making bread that way is a full day process. It's like you have to let it sit and rise, and then you have to knead it, and then you have to let it rise more, and then you have to knead it some more, and you have to shape it. And there's so much involved.
Wow.
so it depends on what, and then there's like making bread in a bread maker, which you just throw all the ingredients in, like baking, push a button, and it comes out an hour or two later, done, yeah, in a loaf. So it's sort of, I don't know, but making bread is a different form of baking, I find, than other forms. And it's very, I don't know, it's very involved, and the end product, I think, is very, it's satisfying in a different way than baking sweet things is, I mm-hmm. think, because when you're baking sweet things, it's usually either to celebrate or to thank someone or something along those lines. But when you're making bread, it's really just to nourish people. Yeah. So it's sort of a different headspace when you're sharing, you know. I think banana bread to some extent is very similar because it is a bread, and mm-hmm. you know, you're usually eating it for a meal as opposed to a cake or cookies, which are sort of like the cherries on the sundae of your meal. But yeah, with bread, it's usually like the base of your meal. So it's just sort of a different thing to think about, I find.
That makes sense, especially with how often people just eat bread. I mean, mm-hmm. like every day for breakfast, I have toast, like mm-hmm. every single day. And I know people like sandwiches. You can have it with mm-hmm. dinner, like dip it in a sauce or something. Like you can have bread with every single meal.
Yes.
And that makes sense, like how that would like really be, like you said, to just mm-hmm. to nourish.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I think that as far as Depression-era baking goes, bread was a thing that a lot of people made because it's flour and water, and yeah. and that's it. And that's one of the things that's so fascinating to me about bread, is that if you try to eat just flour or just water, you would eventually die. Yeah. You couldn't just subsist on uncooked flour or just water. Mm-hmm. You would die. But if you take flour and water and let it sit for a while and then cook it, you can live forever.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, not forever, but you know, it's just, it's incredible. It's like alchemy. And I think that for your aunt to have lived during the Depression and have made banana bread, which is sort of this like hopeful bread, mm-hmm. And for her to be so optimistic and so kind about sharing a recipe, because some family recipes are so guarded, mm-hmm. And aren't shared openly and happily among anyone, like roommates and girlfriends, you know, it's like you have to be born into it. And I think the fact that she made banana bread is sort of this wonderful symbol of her character and how kind, you know. And I don't, obviously do not know her at all, but right. I feel like just in the story you've told, I have a very clear picture of who this woman is. She seems lovely.
Yeah, she's pretty great. She's very open, and she just kind of wants to help people and just to have company too. Like it's something where that's all she really cares about. And she has aches and pains just like anyone else her age, but she pushes through, and she's pretty strong. So she's definitely someone I admire.
Aw. So in the life of this recipe, where you know, if the recipe were a person, you know, and it's got this life that it's living, and you are now sort of a part of it, where do you sort of see, you know, your place in that? Do you, I mean, I'm sure you envision this being a part of your life, mm-hmm. but, you know, how do you see it in the, like, grand scheme of your life and also in its own life?
So I am, I think, the third generation to have this recipe. Actually, technically, it skipped a generation. So I am like the fourth / third generation to own this recipe. So I intend to share this, like I fully intend to share this recipe with my kids and make sure that they know how to make this. And so I think that I am a continuation in the path of this recipe. And eventually I think that this will be shared eventually outwards, but I think that it's something where I'll probably teach other members of the family to make it, because a lot of people don't know how to make it. And so if anyone's interested in it, I'm more than happy to like have them over the house, teach them how to do that. Like my siblings, they have no idea how to make this. And so it's something where they also haven't had the same exposure, because my family tree is more like a family bush. So to kind of explain it very briefly, Dad was married, had two kids, my older brother and sister got divorced, married my mom, had me, divorced, both parents got remarried. Each step parent had 3 children already each, so that was 6 additional step siblings. Then my mom had another child. They both got divorced, and now they're going to get married to each other again.
Oh my word! That is incredible,
so
Sam.
It's like a movie.
Wow.
Yeah, so my family tree is quite interesting, especially like when I would have to do projects as a kid, where I'd be like, oh, like make your family tree. I distinctly remember, I want to say it was like third, I forget what grade it is, but I specifically remember the project where I had to make a family tree. And it was so backwards the way I had to create this thing. We had like things coming off the poster board. Then eventually we said, you know what? Let's just forget it. Let's like pretend half the family doesn't exist and just like make a normal family tree.
Pretending that mom and dad are still together and these are my siblings and that's it.
Because it was just so much easier than trying to have like stalks off of mom and dad that like had other siblings. And my dad had to have like 3 different branches off of him. But like they couldn't connect with each other. It just didn't make sense how to make this family bush. As I call it. So we just kind of simplified it. But because of that, like holidays were always crazy and things like that. So because I was kind of an only child, I have no full siblings, I was the only sibling that went over to my aunt's house.
Okay.
So that's why I was the only one who actually was really experiencing cooking with her a lot and really had the background for just kind of baking with her and really being kind of gifted this recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something where my siblings just haven't had the same experience. So it's something where I'm still close with my siblings. So especially now my brother is in a new house and he's actually, he's gone through culinary school and he teaches culinary.
Oh, great.
So it's great. He teaches actually high school kids. So he loves it. And he's had some really cool experiences, especially with some of the kids who really aren't well to do and really turning it around and being like this is great. Like, I can actually still do something. I have to go home and I don't really have time to put a lot into schoolwork, but when I'm here, I bake in the classroom and I cook in the classroom and something I don't have to worry about taking home, but I can take it home and I can like cook for my family now. And it's really cool for him to see that. And so it's something where he's really passionate about that and he wants to have me over to cook. So he'll teach me some different recipes and I think that I'll probably teach him the banana bread recipe.
Ah, yeah. A little tit for tat.
Exactly.
I think that's only fair. That's great. Oh, so you had been talking about sort of like the life of this recipe and how it sort of gets passed along and that you're part of this, you know, this thing and you're going to pass it on to your kids and all of that. And it reminded me of this very comforting thought process that I read about a few years ago in like how we exist as beings, that the idea of eventually dying is like a huge idea that a lot of people have a really hard time processing.
Mm-hmm.
But I read about this wonderful idea that we are all just vessels for our genes and that our genes live forever, that, you know, our parents gave us our genes and their parents gave them their genes. And really, we are just this way that genes get passed along. And that they're all sort of like carbon copies of previous ones. And so in that way, there's a part of you that is eternal as long as humans exist or whatever comes after us evolutionarily,
mm-hmm.
that you'll always be and that you are just sort of a person on this path. And the food that we create and share and pass down and adapt as certain situations require us to, that's also a part of how we are eternal. It's like food genes.
Yeah.
and the stories that go along with them that, you know, change over time and grow and become tall tales or get baked so deep into the recipe itself that you don't even need to tell it to know that it's part of it. It's just food is really incredible.
Oh, absolutely. It is. Like, when you think about it, some of the cultural recipes that people have where it's like, this is like Spanish cooking or Portuguese cooking, or this is cooking from, again, like various different regions, where it tends to stay very distinct. And one of the interesting things, too, is that it will eventually change. And I think that eventually we do lose some of these recipes. So I think eventually we will lose, for instance, the banana bread recipe somewhere down the road. I don't think there's going to be any time necessarily soon, but I think that eventually that will be lost. But I think it's as long as some of the, you know, like the main themes from that kind of stay the same. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what's important, is making sure that we don't lose ties to our roots, even if we lose kind of some of those recipes. Because even now, some flours don't actually work with the recipe. Like, it'll work, mm-hmm. but it won't quite be the same. She's like, there's something off about it. She's like, she can't put her finger on it, but it's just different. Same thing, like, even certain ovens now, like, it doesn't cook it quite the same way as when she had, like, some of the older style things. Mm-hmm. So eventually we might get to a place where either technology or the way that we process food and things, where we actually can't make the same recipe. And we might still be making the same, following the same steps, but it's not the same end product, which is kind of interesting mm-hmm. to think about. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, as long as, again, we keep moving forward and we keep remembering where kind of the roots came from. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that is hard sometimes for people to accept, but I'm actually okay with that. I think that it's something where if it's inevitable, there's no reason to necessarily fight it. I don't think you should necessarily give up, mm-hmm. but I don't think that if something is going to change, we need to cling on to it for dear life. Mm-hmm. We should kind of make that acceptance, remember where things came from, and then take those things to kind of keep progressing forward. Because mm-hmm. that's kind of, as you said, like, evolving and things like that. You want to make sure that you keep on making progress. And if you try mm-hmm. to stay stuck in everything that's in the past, you can't necessarily make things better. So if you figure out, like, oh, here are the things that I really like from this recipe, let me, like you said, make it your own. Like, and what can you do to take the nature of this and really make it your own thing and continue kind of that family tradition? And you can say, oh, this is the way that my grandfather did it versus the way that my great-grandfather did it. And they're two very different things. Choose whichever one you want, and, or feel free to make it your own. And kind of it evolves into this kind of how families change, and you'll have different traits as different people are married in and everything. The recipe can evolve and turn into something like its own creation, and something I think that could be really beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for sitting down and talking to me. I wish you many, many more I wish you many loaves of banana bread.
Thank you. And I will I'll bring more in so you can have it. And thanks for having me here. This is fun.
Good. I'm glad. Thanks, Sam.
Absolutely.
For the record, Sam brought me in a few slices of banana bread a few days after we recorded, and it was even better than I had imagined. It was moist, but not too heavy, and there was something almost savory at the end of each bite. I'll definitely be asking him for a personal banana bread lesson in the future. And now I'd like to tell you about something I made this week. Well, not this week specifically, because this is something I make just about every week. Since Sam talked about his family's banana bread, I thought I'd tell you about my cinnamon banana pancakes. I've been on a search for over 10 years for the perfect pancake recipe, and after much trial and error, I finally got them just right. The flavor is all thanks to the sourdough starter that I've been lovingly feeding every week for over a year and a half. We have a Facebook page now, so I'll write up the recipe and post it there. You can find a link to the Facebook page in the show notes, or do a search on Facebook for How to Make a Memory. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. A special thanks to Sam for meeting me at our office super early to record. Our music is by Chuck Salamone. Our logo design is by Becky Carpenter. We get system admin support from Greg Thole. Now, go make something for someone you love.